Are you ready for the word tonight, church? I got to tell you, it is it's always such an honor and privilege. It's kind of overwhelming, to be honest, to be able to preach from this stage and this pulpit. We have the greatest leaders and pastors on planet Earth. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty thankful. For me, it's my mom and dad and my pastors. But anybody thankful for Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon? This year, celebrating 17 years, advancing the kingdom, reaching the city of Hampton Roads. Come on, church, if you're thankful, can we just take a quick moment? Thank you, Dad. Thank you for trusting me. We're going to read some Bible really quickly while you're standing. Is that okay? Can we do that? I like to have fun when I preach. And so even if you don't mean it, you can just interact. You can lie to me. Just tell me that it's good, because I'll preach a little bit better. I'm going to have more fun. We'll have more fun. And it's just going to be fun. Anybody want to have fun tonight? This is the house of God. We should have fun. We're going to read out of Luke chapter 23. The title of my message tonight is, I Don't Belong Here. I don't belong here. Turn to your neighbor, and I don't mean this like in this aspect of church, but turn to your neighbor and say, man, I don't belong here. Now, you belong in Wave Church, so don't get misunderstood. Turn to other neighbors, say, I don't belong here. It's a little strange. Luke chapter 23. Are you ready? Pretty amazing verse in the Bible. We're going to pick up where Jesus kind of finds himself in court, if you will, in a place where we'll discover that Jesus actually did not belong. Are you ready? It says, then Pilate called in the high priests, rulers, and the others and said, you brought this man as a disturber of the peace. So Jesus is there. Pilate's there. Pilate is one of two guys, Pilate and Herod, who can make a decision about what's going to happen to Jesus. He says, I examined him in front of all of you and found there was nothing to your charge. Sometimes I think we get it twisted that Jesus kind of deserved to be in this position, but even Pilate and Herod remind us that Jesus did nothing to get himself to this situation. You still with me? It says, and neither did Herod, for he sent him back here with a clean bill of health. It's clear that he has done nothing wrong, let alone anything deserving death. I'm going to warn him to watch his step and let him go. So Pilate's trying to explain, hey, you crazy people, Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. What do you mean you want to kill him? He has done absolutely nothing wrong. The Bible reminds us, Pilate, Herod remind us that Jesus did not belong in this moment. It says that the crowd went wild. They yelled, kill him. Give us Barabbas. They wanted a murderer. They wanted somebody that was starting riots in their city so that they could crucify Jesus. Pilate still wanted to let Jesus go. And so we spoke out again. Pilate's like trying to save Jesus. Said, man, wait, guys, let's think about this. Jesus has done nothing wrong, and you want Barabbas, a murderer. It's pretty crazy. Said he tried a third time. They start yelling, crucify, crucify him. He tried a third time. But what for what crime? I found nothing in him deserving death. I'm going to warn him to just watch his step and let him go. Again, we are reminded that Jesus did not belong here. But he wasn't there for him. But they kept at it, a shouting mob demanding that he be crucified. And finally, they shouted him down. Pilate caved in and gave them what they wanted. He released the man thrown in prison for rioting and murder and gave them to Jesus whatever they wanted. Jesus did not belong in that situation. Tonight, I want to encourage you, maybe it's your first, second, third time, maybe never been to church before. I want to encourage you, it's no accident, no coincidence that you were here. God designed for you to be here tonight. There's a God in heaven who loves you, bankrupt heaven, sent his son Jesus to die for you. He got a plan and a purpose for your life. Stand here tonight, I believe, with a message that is for you, it's for me. Can we pray? Come on, if you got some faith tonight, we'll just stretch our hands up to heaven. It's not a Wave Church thing. It's not a Christian thing. It's just a human being surrendering to our Creator thing. Jesus, we thank you, God, that your presence is here. Without your presence tonight would be such a waste of time. But we thank you that you are here. Your word promises that you're here. God, I thank you, Lord, that there is love, there's grace, there's wholeness, there's peace. God, available to each and every single one of us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the word tonight that you put on my heart. God, I pray that it is your words, not mine. God, I need your grace. I need your anointing. I need your power. Without it, I'm nothing. God, I step out of the way. God, do what you want to do tonight. And God, most of all, I thank you that the Jets will make it to the playoffs this year. And everybody said, come on, give God a hand. You can take a seat. To your neighbor, say, I don't belong here. Have you ever found yourself in a situation in life and you suddenly realize that you don't belong there? Anybody? You're in the situation, you thought you belonged, and then you suddenly are aware you don't belong. Education for me, this happened a lot. Particularly in math class. Every math class I went to, I just felt like I was an outsider. I felt like I didn't belong. There was one math class I remember was college algebra, the entry-level algebra at Old Dominion University. And I remember I was sitting there and just thinking on the verge of tears, I don't belong here. I don't understand what you're saying. This, anybody ever suffered the persecution of adding letters with numbers? Like, why? I remember sitting there thinking, man, I don't understand this. I don't get this. I don't belong here. And little did I know, Alyssa told me later, she was standing outside of that classroom because she's a math major. Why? I don't know. With all of her other math major student friends, if you will, and they're outside of the classroom listening to our lesson, making fun of us of how easy the math is. And I'm sitting in there just crying and just insecure, like, I don't understand this. Why is A with two? I remember I was in a literature class, and again, I just kind of found myself in classrooms where, you know, I didn't really belong. And I remember the professor, you know, I could instantly tell, say, man, this is a little bit above my level of thinking. And the professor said, you know what, we're going to talk about our favorite genres. I'm like, genres? Like, don't movies have genres? Literature have genres? Like, what is this? And people started standing, you know, it was a way to introduce everybody. And they would introduce themselves. Hey, my name is, you know, Bartholomew. My favorite genre of literature is like ancient Greek, Renaissance, Romanticism, period. And it just really speaks to me. And I'm like, what? You just made that up because it sounds cool. And everybody's saying these things, and it gets to me. I'm like, hey, I'm Josh, and I guess Hunger Games is my favorite genre. Is that like a genre, or? I don't belong there. A couple of weeks ago, I found myself in a situation, if you will, where I don't know if I've ever felt that I don't belong so passionately in my entire life. It's a couple of weeks ago, and I was with my young adults pastor, Joe Riddle. Last time I think I preached on a Sunday night, it was a similar story. This time it's just a little bit worse. And Will Martin was there, a guy called Greg and Saxton, our support crew. We were doing the 112-mile hike for our youth ministry. May I note, for our youth ministry. There was no way I would have ever made it 112 miles if I just did this for fun. I remember it all started at 12:45 a.m. because Joe decided we're going to meet here at church at 12:45 a.m. Why we couldn't leave at 7 or 8 a.m., I don't know, but we left at 12:45 a.m. Already, everybody's awake, and they're pumped, and they got their hiking boots on, and I'm in my sweatpants. I'm like, man, I don't belong here. And we start driving to these mountains, and it's dark, and it's, I don't like the dark, and again, I don't belong here. And we get out of the car, and everybody's putting their hiking boots on, and they've broken them in, and I got my hiking boots off Amazon like the week before, and putting them on, and I don't belong here. We start hiking in the dark, and my light is fading because I used it on a motorcycle trips that I like to be on the week before. So it was fading, and so I could barely see. And so we started doing, or Will and I guess, started doing what you kind of do when you're nervous and scared. You start making fun of what you're scared of. And so we started calling out to the bears, like, Dewey, Dewey. Guess what the bear's name is? And after we do that, Joe decides, has the audacity, say, hey, guys, oh, that's right. This time on the trip, on the hike last year, was on this trail, was when the bear started stalking us for 30 minutes. Like, really? Like, of all the things you could have said that you found, like, a dead mermaid, anything else, but you got to tell me that there's a bear stalking you. So now it's like every noise that you hear, Dewey, is that you? The end of the first day, everybody is doing amazing. I cannot tell you the pain that my body is experiencing. I am the only one with walking sticks. No shame. I look like Gandalf walking up this mountain. I am dragging my body. My legs, you think I'm like exaggerating or joking. I thought I was going to die day one. We get to the end of day one. They literally carry me to, when we get to the checkpoint at the end of the day, they throw me into the back of the Suburban. I'm pretty sure I died. Somebody did CPR and saved me. Thanks, whoever that was. We'll just keep that a secret. I remember the end of the first night, I called Brooke, my wife. I was looking for sympathy. I was looking for encouragement. I was looking for something. I said, babe, you don't understand. I can feel like there's a bear has been gnawing at my femur bones. Like, it hurts so bad, babe. I don't know if I'm going to even make it to day two. I don't know if I'm going to be able to move when I wake up. And she said this, well, you better finish. I know, baby, you know, do you understand? Like, my legs, I think I'm going to die. Well, you better finish, Josh. That's why I love you, my amazing, beautiful wife. And the next morning, or actually that night, we're in tents. And we're, I guess, put our tents in a place where it's kind of legal and sort of not legal to put tents. And we put them there. So there's a chance that a park ranger could show up and just tell us to move. That's kind of what happens. But the problem with that is I am in so much pain. Once I lay down, I don't want to get back up. So we're in these tents, and it's nighttime, and I'm afraid of bugs, so we get in the tent. Will and I, everybody share tents. That's what you do on these trips, and because where there's unity, God commands blessings. So Will and I shared a tent of our youth ministry, and I thought, man, we don't want bugs getting here, so I've sprayed bug spray in the tent with the zipper closed. What? I didn't realize bug spray doesn't go out of the tent, so every time we try to talk, we're just, like, choking, like, poisoning ourselves. Like, 2 or 3 a.m., we hear this rustling of the tent. And I wake up, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Smokey the Bear Park Ranger is here. We're going to have to move. It is Joe Riddle, who has gotten food poisoning, is so sick. And he's just looking for help. And I just stick my hand out of the tent and hand him a phone and say, here, call somebody. He calls the support crew. And, of course, the next morning, Joe had been throwing up all night. There he is, the start of the next morning, hiking again. Give it up for Joe Riddle. My gosh. I was praying for food poisoning, and Joe gets it and keeps hiking. The next day, we're hiking, and we come across, there's like flying tarantulas, and you think I'm joking. This stuff is there. Hike 112 miles, start imagining things, and we come across a snake, and Joe takes my walking stick, and I like collapse. I'm like, Joe, what are you, no, you can't protect yourself. I need to stand, and he hits a rattlesnake with a stick. But Joe, what are you doing? And then Saxton Kuro, who I'm convinced is just Wolverine, that guy's not a human being, just grabs another stick, pins its head, and we bless that snake in the name of Jesus. I don't know if that's, we're allowed to talk about that, but it's alive and well in the mountains, wherever we were. And then we actually came up to Dewey. There was a mother cub, our mother bear with her cub, and if you watch the Discovery Channel once, then you know that if you come up against a bear with her cub, you're in trouble. And so we start doing, I guess this is normal, we start screaming, hey bear, and clapping. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea, guys. Let's let the bear know that we're here. Like, hey bear. Little did I know that just a couple days later, I was in so much pain. I'm calling out to Dewey myself. Dewey. Dewey, where are you? Dewey, I'm here, and you can eat me. And we can end this right now because I can't finish this hike. We finished that hike in the name of Jesus, the greatest chocolate milkshake of my entire life. I was on that Thursday night. And as funny as that is, and as desperate as I was on that mountain and thinking, God, I don't belong here. How often do we as followers of Jesus find ourselves in seasons of life where we cry out to God, God, I don't belong here. God, why me? Why am I here? I don't deserve this. Why do I still have this job? Why am I in this family situation? God, why am I here? I don't belong here. It's almost like we think that maybe we've done something wrong. Maybe something isn't right. It's something, wait, God, did you mess up? Or God, am I not doing what you've called me to do? But I want to suggest to you and I tonight that when we find ourselves in that season of life, in that situation in life where we feel like we don't belong, when we feel like, God, I don't know if I should be here, I want to suggest to you and I tonight that maybe that is right where God wants us to be. Maybe that is right where we should be. Wave Church, it is imperative that we understand one thing tonight, and that is this. The only reason we exist as a church tonight, the only reason I can preach the gospel unashamedly tonight, the only reason we can come into this place, all of us, and with all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our stuff, but we can come in anyway to his presence just as we are, and we can be saved by his grace and saved for eternity and given a plan and a purpose for our life. The only reason is because one moment in history, a man found himself in a situation where He didn't belong. But he chose to stay. He chose to belong in a place that he didn't belong, and he chose to not just stay in that place where he didn't belong, he chose to die so that others could live. Who am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about Jesus. Come on, can I get an amen? Gerard, let's do this. I want to read a verse. It's further along in the story. Jesus is trialed, sentenced to be crucified. And what we're reading here is Jesus on the cross. And when I kept reading this verse, I'm just thinking again about how Jesus chose to stay on a cross that he didn't belong on. Luke 23 says this. It says, the soldiers also came up and poked fun at him. Jesus is on the cross, and the soldiers are making fun of him in his pain. He's struggling to breathe. They toasted him with sour wine. So you're the king of the Jews. Save yourself. Printed over him was a sign. This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging alongside him cursed him. Said, some Messiah you are. Save yourself and save us. And in this criminal's mocking of Jesus, he's actually reminding Jesus. He's saying, hey, if you're really the Messiah, why are you up here? Save yourself and save me while you're at it. In his mocking, he's reminding Jesus that he actually doesn't belong there. Then the other criminal, the other one, made him shut up, the Bible says in the translation I'm reading. It says, have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. This criminal who deserved to be on that cross understood who Jesus was, that Jesus didn't deserve the punishment that they were receiving. Again, we are being reminded that Jesus did not belong on this cross. It says, Bible says the criminal said he did nothing to deserve this. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. He said, don't worry, I will today, you will join me in paradise. So Jesus is hanging on this cross and being mocked and reminded by criminals and those around him that he does not belong on this cross. And Jesus is hanging on this cross, and he knows that he doesn't belong on that cross. He knows that it's not his sin. He knows that it's not his punishment. He knows that it's not his mistakes. He knows that it's not his rebellion. He knows that it's not his human nature that comes up short and short time and time again. He knows. But he chooses to make the sin his. He chooses to make the rebellion his. He chooses to make the mistake and the turning away from God his again and again. And he chooses to stay in a place that he didn't belong, but he chose to belong in a place that he didn't belong. Why? So that he could save you. So that he could save me. So he could save all of humanity. Wave Church, you may not feel like you deserve to be in the situation you are. You may not feel like you want to be in the season of life that you are. You may not feel like you should still be at that job in that same cubicle, but maybe we're not there for us. Maybe we're in the season of life that we are right now for somebody else, for everybody else, for anybody else. Could it be that when we find ourselves in this season of life where we just don't feel like we belong in it, we don't feel like we deserve this, could it be in that moment we are reflecting our Savior? If you find yourself in that thinking and that frustration, you're in good company. Jesus, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he cries out to God, God, if there's any other way. When he's on that cross, he cries out, God, why? Why have you forsaken me? And Jesus shows us that he chose to belong in that place where he knew he didn't belong because it was never about him. And so I've come to this conclusion, and you can come to a different conclusion if you want. Read your Bible, read these verses, but after reading what we've read and after praying about these verses and what Jesus did on the cross, I've come to this conclusion as a Christian. I want to encourage you to write this down. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Wave Church, are you ready? As a Christian, I've come to this conclusion. As a Christian, I am not in this season for me, but for everybody else. Fill in season with whatever you want to. I am not in this job for me. I'm not in this situation just for me anymore. but maybe I'm here for somebody else. I love what Paul says. Paul gets to this place as a follower of Jesus that I want to get to. I love Paul. He says this in Acts chapter 20. He says, but there is another urgency before me now. I love as a Christian that you can get a new urgency for your season, a new urgency for your workplace, a new urgency for your family, a new urgency for the local church, a new urgency. There's another urgency before me now. He says, I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. I tell our young people, replace Jerusalem with your school. I feel compelled to go to school. I didn't before. But now, understand what Jesus has done and that there's people that are waiting for me to reach them. Now I feel compelled. Now I feel compelled to go to that workplace. And now I feel compelled to go to that business that I own. Now I feel compelled to go to that family situation. It gets better. Paul says this. He says, I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. Paul says, I know I'm walking into this season. I have no idea what's going to happen in this season, but the one thing that the Holy Spirit has let me know, says, I do know this, that it won't be any picnic, for the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly and clearly that there are hard times and imprisonment ahead. Paul understands whatever season of life he comes into, if it's changed, if it's prison, he says this, but that matters little. One of the most powerful statements, I think, in the Bible says, but that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God has started. The job Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know about this incredible, extravagant love of God. I love Paul. Say, I'm walking into this season. I don't know what's going to happen. What I do know is I'm going to get beat up. What I do know is I'm going to lose my reputation. What I do know is maybe it'll be a little bit longer before I'm promoted. But all that matters to me is if there's anybody around me in that cubicle, in that workplace, in that college campus, I'm going to let them, somebody, anybody, every know about this good news of Jesus. So my question for you tonight is, have you looked at your season from God's perspective? Instead of looking at your season just from where you are and the frustration and maybe the delay, have you looked at your season from God's perspective? Have you looked at your season maybe from Paul's perspective? Because I've discovered this. I've discovered the Christian life is a daily decision of who I'm going to live for. It's not a one moment, I have this encounter with God and then I'm just off. Yes, I'm off to the races, but it is a daily decision. Am I going to live for myself or am I going to live for Jesus? The only problem, which is not a problem, it's the greatest opportunity, but sometimes it becomes a problem for us. When we live for Jesus, there's always a therefore. If I'm going to live for Jesus, there's always a therefore others. If I put my eyes on Jesus, Jesus is going to take my eyes and put them on the people that are in my season that is trying to get me to reach and love and encourage. This has been a constant struggle in my life, waking up, God, am I going to live for myself or am I going to live for you, therefore everybody around me? I'll never forget it. Forgive me for using a high school example, but I was just reminded a couple of weeks ago with a thank you letter of a moment in my life where I decided I wasn't going to live for myself, but I was going to live for Jesus. It was my end of my senior year in high school, and we had done a Bible study the whole year. And some of you may have heard this story before, but there was something that God was still asking me to do. He reminded me of it when I was praying and just out here in the parking lot. I said, Josh, I asked you to get up in front of your cafeteria and tell everybody about me, about the amazing local church that is the hope of the world. I remember thinking, God, we've done this Bible study. Isn't that enough? I said, Josh, I've asked you to do this. And the night before, I came back to that prayer spot and I'm crying in my car saying, God, I don't know if I can do this. God, I don't want to do this. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be weird. I'm not a fan of people just getting up in a platform that nobody asked them to be in. But yet I know clearly that God asked me to do this, and I'm battling with this, struggling, praying, God, I don't know. My insecurity, my doubt is rising to the surface, and the Holy Spirit came to me in that moment and said, Josh, this is not about you. The next morning, my stomach is in knots the entire day. I remember I walk into the cafeteria, I'm so nervous, and right before I get to stand up, I put my head on the cafeteria table one more time. I'm gonna cry out to God. God, I don't know. God, I don't want to do this. I don't know if I can do this. And again, the Holy Spirit came and reminded me, said, Josh, this isn't about you. Where I stood up, kind of quivering, and raised my voice. And as I did, this young man stood up and began to yell at me and yell things about Wave Church. And in that moment, I froze, so nervous. And I remember thinking in my mind, God, are you kidding me? You asked me to do this, and look at this little demon kid that stood up. As I'm thinking this, one of the football players that I did not know was listening to our Bible study the entire year. Stands up and looks at this little, I say little because he's smaller than me and that's little. Says, hey, looks at me, looks at him, says, sit down and shut up. I remember thinking, yeah, sit down and shut up, man. Football player looked at me, kind of gave me the head nod. I'm just, okay, it's time to do this. And shared the gospel for maybe a minute. There was no instant revival. Nobody came up to me, asked for prayer. Nobody came up to me the next day, said, Josh, I really needed to hear that. I walked away from that almost discouraged. But again, the Holy Spirit reminded me, said, Josh, it wasn't for you. 6 years later, I get a thank you letter of a girl that is now in our church thanking me, saying, Josh, I just wanted to thank you because 6 years ago, I was in a cafeteria. And this year, I've been looking for a church. I've been looking for hope again. And I remembered you standing up in that cafeteria and telling me that there was a God in heaven who loved me, telling me that there was a local church called Wave Church that I could be a part of. And she wrote in the thank you letter, she is a part of Wave Leadership College. I just found out her little sister is in our youth ministry. I just saw that little sister Instagram a photo of herself inviting 26 people in her school to our youth ministry. I wish I could tell you it was because of me, but it was just a moment where I decided I'm not going to live for myself, but I'm going to live for Jesus, and therefore I'm going to live for somebody, anybody, everybody else. Wave Church, I wonder what might happen if we take our eyes off of our situation, off of our season, and put them on the people that are in our season. I wonder if we put our eyes on Jesus, and we were so compelled that the only thing that mattered was telling somebody. The good news of Jesus, I wonder, may we be a group of people, we are done living like the rest of the world that is so consumed with ourselves. And we will always only live for Jesus, and therefore others, therefore somebody else. Therefore, if you're in my cubicle space 50 feet, then you're going to hear about Jesus. You're going to get an invite to church, and I'm going to love you. I'm going to encourage you. Wave Church! Will you stand in your season? Will you give in your season? Will you speak in your season? Will you encourage in your season? Will you sacrifice in your season if it means somebody? If it means anybody hears the good news of Jesus. You can take a seat. See, no longer is that cubicle that we just think is in the meantime to what God has called us to do, just a cubicle. But it's the place that is a part of the calling where God has taken me. And I may as well bring as many people as I can with me on that journey, and that business, and that college, and that classroom. Maybe the reason we're still in that season is God's just waiting for you to reach those people before he wants to take you to the next one. Come on, if this message has spoken to you with every head bowed and every eye closed, if this message has just encouraged you, the band can come on up. If this message has just encouraged you, and baptism team, you can begin to make your way down to the side in the front. If this message spoke to you tonight, and again, I was preaching to myself just as I was preaching to you. If it encouraged you, if it challenged you, if maybe you've been in a season where you felt like you didn't belong and you felt like it's been in the meantime for too long, and you know that there's greater things that God has called you to do, but you're in that season of frustration and you've taken your eyes off of Jesus and just on to the season, and you know it's time. Tonight you want to make that decision. This is not an altar call response. This is just to this message saying, you know what? Got to put my eyes back on you and back on the people that you've called me to reach. If that's you in this place, just lift your hand high really quick. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. So many honest hands all over the building. Jesus, I thank you for every honest Christian here. God, I thank you that you have called us in every season to love people, to include people, to reach people. God, I thank you there is no arriving, but every season along the way, God, there are people that are waiting for us to notice them. So God, we ask you to open our eyes again to see those people in our season. God, we don't want to miss anybody. God, encourage our hearts today. We're doing better than we think we are. God, I pray that you would inspire, God, that you would instill hope again. God, you would remind people the dream and the vision that you have for their life. It's just a season, but we're going to bring people along for the way. Come on, can we give a hand tonight if you receive the word? Here's what we're going to do. The baptism team, you can begin to make your way, bring the baptism people. If we could just take these rows, a couple of rows back. We're going to have water baptism in the service. The service is not over. There's still a couple of more things that we want to do. Tonight, there's many, many, many people making the decision to be water baptized, something that Jesus teaches in his word, something that Jesus exampled in the Bible. We're going to pray for these amazing people before we water baptize them. We got some of our pastors that are going to water baptize them. If you're family and friends, I want to encourage you, you can get out of your seats. You can make your way down here so you can take photos of your family members. And water baptism is a pretty powerful thing. Identifying with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. When we go under that water, identifying with who we used to be. Identifying with Jesus going to the grave. And we come out of that water, we're identifying with that new covenant, that grace that has saved us, and that new person that God has called us to be. The Bible says we are a new creation, and that's what we identify in this water baptism. We come out of that water, it's identifying that we are a new creation in the name of Jesus. Well, church, can we stretch our hands out there? They're going to pray for all these amazing, amazing people. Jesus, we thank you, God, for every single amazing person that's making this decision to not only follow you, but to be water baptized tonight. We identify with your death, your resurrection. God, I pray that we walk out of this place lighter. God, knowing that you not have only saved us, but you've called us. We identify with who we used to be, and we identify with who you called us to be, our new creation. And everybody said, amen. Our pastors, you guys can make your way into the tub. Church, can we give all these people an amazing hand before we start baptizing? Our team's going to worship. Let's just enjoy this family moment together. Come on, give him a hand.
You are not against. what an awesome thing, a husband and a wife. Come on. Being baptized together tonight. Another husband and wife. Come on. Oh! Lord, touch Nathaniel. Lindsay, Lord, touch you, Lord. Touch Daisy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Raphael. This is Travis. Beautiful. A mother and a son getting baptized tonight. Lord Jesus, touch him. Come on. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Come on, church, one more time. Can we give a huge shout and celebration for every person? Amen and amen. Before we finish tonight's service, please stay with us. There's one more thing that we need to do, the most important part of this service. And everybody, if you could just stay right where you are. It's okay if you're standing. It's okay if you're sitting in an aisle. Tonight, I wonder, do you know Jesus? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? I'm not asking maybe tonight, do you believe God? Have you been to church? The devil believes in God. There's many people that have been to church, but do you know Jesus personally? You know, there's one place that Jesus didn't belong, and he chose not to stay there because it could not hold him. When Jesus died, he went to the grave, and the grave could not hold Jesus. Jesus did not belong in death or the grave, and he rose from the dead. And the power of the resurrection is this grace that has saved you and I, that we can come to him just as we are, with all of our stuff, with all of our mistakes, with all of our things, and that we think maybe separate us from God. Tonight, I want to encourage you that God loves you just the way that you are. I'm not asking if you got yourself together. If you would have got yourself together, we would have all done it by now. The beauty of the gospel is we can come to him just as we are. I wonder tonight, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins, to be in relationship with him? So with every eye bowed and every eye closed, every head bowed, every eye closed, Christians, begin to pray in this place. Lift your faith. tonight in a room this size, I know there's many people that are going to make this decision. Tonight, I'm talking to you. Tonight is your night. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it starts with this decision. Washing your past, washing your sin. Everything can change tonight. I wonder tonight if that's you. And in a moment, I'm just going to count to three. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something bold and something courageous that people do every week. I'm going to ask you, when I count to three, I'm going to ask you if that's you to raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it so I know who to pray for. So I can pray with you, I can pray for you. Tonight, if that's you, say, you know what? I want to know this Jesus you speak of. I'm not offering a church experience tonight. I'm not offering a religion, but tonight I'm offering a gift that has already been given, and all you need to do is receive. God has already given the gift tonight. All you got to do is just receive this gift of salvation. Tonight, do you know what it is to be saved and forgiven of your sins? Know what it is to be saved for eternity in heaven with Him. And even better, a plan and a purpose for your life. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, in a moment, when I count to three, I would love for you to raise your hand so I know to include you in my prayer. One, if that's you tonight, say, you know what, Josh, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm done trying to do this life on my own. Tonight, I want to walk out of this place going back to that season that I am in, knowing that I am called to be there. Two, maybe you need to come back to Christ tonight. If you're being honest with yourself, you know that at once you were walking with God, once you were making the daily decision to live for Jesus, but tonight you know that you've walked away. Tonight, can I encourage you that God's not mad at you? He's not frustrated, but His arms are just wide open. He's smiling, saying, welcome home. Three, if that's you in this place, lift your hand high enough right now, long enough for me to see. There's a hand there. There's another hand over there. Come on, if that's you in this place, say, you know what? I want to make this decision to follow Jesus. Come on, anybody else? Come on, Christians. Let's keep praying in this place and stirring our faith. There's another hand there. Come on, I know that there's many more tonight. You say, you know what, Josh? There's another hand there. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Come on, if you need to come back to Jesus tonight. Come on, if you need to come back home tonight, if that's you. Come on, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Come on, I really feel like there's a couple of more people that want to make this decision. Your stomach is turning. Your heart is beating. That's not me. That's not lights. That's not music. It's the grace of Jesus knocking on the door. There's two hands. Another two hands over there. That's the grace of Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. Invite Him in tonight. Come on, anybody else? Come on, Christians. Let's keep praying. Let's keep stirring our faith. Come on, anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus right now. Raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, church, can we stand to our feet and can we give a huge shout of praise for every hand that was lifted? Tonight, this message was also for you. Jesus chose to belong on that cross that you and I deserved so that we could experience this moment. So with all of our stuff, we could come to Him just as we are and experience His gift of salvation, experience His grace, experience eternity in heaven with Him. And what we're going to do in just a moment, our band is going to worship. And if you raise your hand tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something again that is bold and courageous, something that people do in Wave Church every single Sunday night, something that I've done personally as well. In a moment when we worship, I'm going to ask you if you raised your hand, or maybe you wish to raise your hand, maybe you brought a friend tonight. I want to encourage you to turn to them, say, you know what? I'll go with you. If you raised your hand tonight, say, you know what? I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. When we begin to worship, in a moment, people will get out of your way. You can bring your friends. You can bring your stuff. I want to encourage you to take a step of faith, step of boldness, and make your way down to the front just so I can shake your hand and I can pray with you and I can pray for you. So as we begin to worship, come on, Wave Church, we're only going to give. We're only going to celebrate you. Our leaders are going to come with you. Come on, if that was you tonight, if you raised your hand, come on, get out of your seat. Come on, church, let's give them a hand as they begin to come. Come on, if that was you, if you lifted your hand tonight. Come on, church, let's really give them a hand as they come. Come on, Wave Church, let's give them a hand. Come on, if that was you tonight, you raised your hand. Maybe you wish you did. Come on, I want to encourage you to get out of your seat. Make your way down to the front. Come on, church, let's continue to give them a hand as they come. Come on, Wave Church, can we give a huge shout of praise? Celebrate every person. Here's what we're going to do. Before we pray, I know there were more hands that were lifted. And I believe there's some more people that need to make this decision. And tonight we're just going to worship for maybe 20, 30 more seconds. But you are worth waiting for. You are worth Jesus going to the cross for. So you're worth waiting for. Tonight, we don't want anybody to miss out on this moment. Come on, church, let's continue to give them a hand. You can interrupt me anytime, any moment. Tonight is your night. Do not put this off. Come on, today is the day of salvation. So come on, as we worship tonight, if you raise your hand or you know that you should, come on, if you brought a friend tonight, turn to your neighbor, turn to your friend, come on. Tonight, know what it is to be saved by the grace of Jesus, forgiven of your sins. Come on, friend, if that's you, get out of your seat and make your way down to the front. Come on, church, continue to give them a hand as they come. Come on, there's a couple more people. Come on, if that's you tonight. Come on, don't miss this moment. Don't miss this opportunity. Come on, church, turn to your friend. Come on, just a couple moments more. Come on, church, if there's ever a time where we shout and we praise and we celebrate, they're still coming. Come on, church. Let's continue to give them a hand. You can feel free to interrupt anytime in this moment. Come on, church. Let's give them a hand as they... Amazing. I wish I could open up heaven right now, because heaven is having the biggest party that you have ever seen. Because you are making the decision to come in a relationship with Jesus. You're going to spend eternity in that same heaven. Tonight, we're just going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Tonight, everything changes. It may not change out there, but it changes in here. With a relationship with Jesus, with the grace that has equipped you to walk through any season of life. Tonight, you're forgiven of your sins. All the sin, all the past, all the shame, it's washed clean tonight. So come on, let's say this prayer together. Church, can you stretch your hands forward if you're saying this prayer tonight? Come on, lift your hands. Let's say it together as a church with some boldness, unashamedly, with some passion. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Forgiving me of my sins and raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future and a freedom that is only found in you. Tonight I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian and I choose to live for you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The reason why the people in this church are so excited that you made this decision is because we all have, and you just became a part, if you want, a part of the most amazing church family. You belong here. You belong in Wave Church. So what we want to do really quickly is, we got some pastors and leaders over here. We got a gift from our senior pastors that we want to give you. We want to pray. If you want prayer, we'll pray for you. We want to help you, being that this is the most important decision of your life. We want to help you with what is next. So if you could just turn to your left and my right and follow some of our pastors right here, just to a room really quickly to give you that gift and that Bible, even if you've done it before. Come on, church, let's one more time, church, can we give them a hand? Every single person. I love being a part of a church that every single week we are reaching people, we are seeing our city influenced with the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen? Church, we love you. Have the greatest season, week of your life. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an awesome night.